Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with...
I'm Darren Larson.
I'm Tom Regan.
Yeah, and we have been in the middle of a series that we have called The Word of Their Testimony, and this comes out of Revelation 12. Darren, I think it's your turn to explain what this means.
Yeah, Revelation 12 is the picture of believers in Jesus who have overcome the enemy of their souls by the blood of the Lamb, the work of Christ on their behalf on the cross, who died for our sins. The word of their testimony, which is, kind of saying like, man, the Lord has saved me, and this is what the Lord has done in my life, and not loving their lives unto death, is kind of the picture of Revelation chapter 12. And so we've been going through the series where we've been hearing people's stories about how Jesus has saved them and how they're walking with Christ and what life is like for them now. And there's power in that story.
Yeah, I think it's been super encouraging. You understand that every person is a whole person, mm-hmm. but if you're just kind of rubbing against people, it can be easy to leave it at surface level. But there's just so many amazing stories in our church.
Yes.
There's so much underneath that veneer that you see on.
I've had people say that to me. They're like, "Oh my gosh, it's so encouraging to hear these stories because you forget like how much the Lord is doing. You don't even know what the Lord, not just forget. Right. You don't even know what He's doing, and then you hear these stories, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, you see faces on Sunday mornings, even though we're not a huge church. You still see a sea of faces, and you're like, wow, they've got a story. They've got a story. They've got a story.
Yeah, it's there's something good about being reminded, Tom, what you just said that the Lord is doing things that we don't know anything about. That makes me think of like I think it's Elijah. Where the God is like, I'm doing stuff. You don't even know what it is. So, awesome. so calm down. So there's a lot of encouragement there.
Keep calm.
Yeah, basically. Makes him some bread. Mm-hmm. Tell him to take a nap. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing. But we also, to that end, we have a very special guest with us this morning. Very special. It's not morning. It's afternoon. We have a very special guest with us this afternoon.
It might be morning when the person's listening.
That's true.
So
we have a very special
know.
Guest yeah. for whenever.
Yeah. Good morning.
This
good
is
afternoon.
Right
good
now.
Evening.
Very special guest. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Lauren Simmons.
Hi, Lauren Simmons.
Great to have you here.
Yeah,
thank you,
Lauren. How long have you been around Imprint?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think I started going toward the end of last year, joining the ever popular Voth family.
All right,
that's right. That's awesome.
This is the Vothcast.
Yeah, we joked about calling this the Vothcast. We have so many Voths on here.
Well, it's like one herd, and so the other one's like, I should probably do that, and then another person. And then it's like,
so
yeah,
there really was. It's funny because we have kind of some emails. There's like dominoes in place of like, well, I heard this person's share, and that convinced me to finally share my story. And then that person shares, and then we get the next email from the next Voth saying, well, that convinced me I'm finally going to share my story. So, and I think we actually have two more Voths to record.
That's so funny.
Which is pretty exciting. Cool to see the Lord get a hold of that family. So you started coming along with...
You tagged along with them, huh?
With them?
Yes. So Aaron and Amy were coming. Dale and Brenda were also coming. And then Dan and I started joining them. Sarah and Reggie also come.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I first got like really involved in the practicum that started in March.
Sweet.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so got to do that.
Very cool. So where are you from? Like, where'd you grow up? You grew up around Woodinville, or did you grow up somewhere else? Or
no, so I was born in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then my family moved up here in 1997, right before I started elementary school.
I'm old.
No, I thought the same thing. Yeah.
My dad got a job at Boeing.
Oh, yeah.
And so we moved to Mukilteo. So that's where I grew up. And then I went to Western up in Bellingham.
Nice.
So now I live in Woodinville.
That's awesome. What'd you do at Western? What was your degree? What was your major?
My major was public relations, which was in the journalism department. Huh. And then my minor was dance.
Oh,
well,
cool.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Got kind of the left brain, right brain thing there. That's really cool. Yeah.
That is amazing. Do you like living in Woodinville? Is it nice to be here out of the Mukilteo or whatever? What do you prefer?
I like it because it's close to where I work.
Yeah.
I was doing the commute to Seattle for a little while. Even living in Seattle and working in Seattle, the commute was really rough. So now I live about 10 minutes away from my office, which has been amazing.
That is cool. Yeah, any type of commute around here is usually horrible. So that's nice to have that.
That's a game changer.
Yeah. So what was your life growing up like as a family? Were you Christian family growing up, non-Christian family? What was your story like in church involvement and things like that?
So I grew up going to an Episcopal church. Mm-hmm. And so my, when I was living in California, my uncle, who's actually my dad's uncle, was a reverend of an Episcopal church down there. So my dad grew up going there. So then I grew up going there. We moved up here and then started going to an Episcopal church in Seattle under the recommendation of someone from California. And it's funny that when we moved to Mukilteo and you don't have an idea of exactly how far away Seattle is.
Yeah.
So we were commuting like 35 minutes totally. Every Sunday morning. So we actually, I think, jumped churches. We went to a Lutheran church in Mukilteo, went to a Baptist church in Everett. And then, you know, once I hit middle school, high school, I had other, this sounds so bad, I had other commitments on Sundays.
Oh, okay.
Because I was on the dance team. I played select basketball. And so all of that stuff took place over the weekend. So church kind of went away.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And
did you feel for you it was kind of like a traditional thing? Like, did you understand, like, did you, what was your concept of God and Christianity growing up? Because, I mean, it's possible to go to church and
it just
that
be
just
like family
be
tradition.
Something that you do, you know, versus like, oh, I was made for a relationship with God, you know, that kind of thing.
No understanding.
Yeah.
It was definitely more of a process or just this is what we do on Sundays.
Mm. Yeah.
No real deeper understanding about Jesus and who he is. And I mean, I don't want to blame my parents or anything of that nature. Yep. That's just how it turned out to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Did you enjoy some of the sports and stuff that you were in? Did you enjoy that kind of thing? Or was it...
Loved
you,
it.
Did you? Yeah.
Well, yes.
Come to find out you were a minor in dance. I don't hear that very often from college. So, yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I knew that I wanted to do public relations before even going to college. But once I learned that there were dance classes and that there was the opportunity to get a minor in dance, I was like, why not? I can exercise and still, you know, get credits and do something that, you know, something that I loved, but learned that like I was not going to be part of like 5% who could do it professionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still able to explore it. And
what was your favorite kind of dance?
You know, it's weird. I actually really love ballet.
Okay.
I love the like disciplined aspect of it. And it's really beautiful and, it's a great workout too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet so you like can go on point on and stuff. I was going to say, like.
No, not very well. I didn't have the feet for it.
Oh, is that part of it too? You got to have like the physical makeup to make it work too as well?
Yeah, it's a lot harder if you don't have certain kind of feet.
I mean, that's like basketball, right? Like I'm 6'1", but it's not like I'm going to go play in the NBA.
No.
Like you got to be like 6'7" plus, you know.
And,
like,
and an incredible athlete.
Yeah,
well, that's the other piece of it.
There was like, you're kind of awkward and uncoordinated.
Yeah. There was a guy in my high school who was six foot 10 or something like that. And everyone was like, oh gosh, he's going to be like the best basketball. He was not.
So uncool.
He was on the team every year, but he was just really bad at basketball.
Because he was just rebounding past it probably.
Yeah. He was just, he looked like... I don't know. He was just like a big stretched out human. And so he couldn't move very well.
Plastic man.
That's a lot of body to learn
seriously.
How to manipulate.
Yeah. And if you can't manipulate it well, it's just like lots of limbs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's amazing. Exactly. Yeah. So your experience of how did you grow in like what your experience of Christ, your knowledge of Christ, what happened with that to get you to a place you're like, wow, this growing up experience was not what a relationship with God is actually like.
I started going to church with the Voths, not at Imprint, but they were going to North Shore.
Oh,
so this was years ago. And so I would go to church with them every once in a while. So I was starting to get integrated into a church in that way, but not really taking that step of getting a better understanding. And then honestly, I believe it was COVID. During COVID, we started a Bible study through Word Go with so the
Bible Study Fellowship app or whatever it was.
Yeah. And so we started doing so their mom, Karen, she lives in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And so we started doing Bible study with her over Zoom. So that was really my introductory into Jesus and who he is, but it was still very high level and it was very foreign to me.
Yeah.
And it was a little intimidating,
yeah.
Especially with doing it with people who seemed so much more versed.
Yeah, they kind of grew up and had the language and all that kind of stuff.
So, right.
Whereas
right.
you knew what church was, and it sounds like, but from what you said earlier, you had no real understanding of what any of this was actually about.
Right, right.
What was it like when, I don't know, what was it like when the reality of what Jesus was kind of collided with your history of like, okay, I know what church is as an idea, as a structure. How did that meet you, I guess? What was it like? What was how long did it take for Jesus to kind of, I don't know, become compelling to you, something that you wanted?
I would say maybe, I'm trying to think, like, when was COVID, like, thinking through this timeline?
It was 40 years ago.
But to be honest, it was less about the Bible study, and it was more about, you know, what was happening in my life, and what I was dealing with was becoming unmanageable. And to be honest, just looking in hindsight, that the only way to get through it and to understand why I was going through it was because of Jesus. And just that was the only answer, really. And so it wasn't so much of, you know, when the Bible was starting to click more with me, it was just the understanding of that I need to develop this relationship with him, because there's no other options for me, and there's no other way that I'm going to be able to continue in my relationship, in my life, just me as a person wasn't going to be able to move forward, in a meaningful and healthy fashion. So, you know, we were doing the Bible study for a while, and then we kind of petered off. People got busy and everything. And then, Karen, their mom said, "Hey, does anyone want to pick it back up again?" And, you know, we're on a group text, and I'm like, okay, what do I say? What do I say? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And no one else did. So then it just became Karen and I doing the Bible study together every week.
That's
cool. I think that right there was the biggest, biggest help, biggest blessing, honestly, was having that one-on-one time with someone who I could be open and honest with. And to be honest, I didn't always feel that way with Dan or Aaron or Amy, just because, again, I just felt as an outsider, and I couldn't contribute to the conversation all the time. And I feel
but now
like
it's one-on-one, you have to contribute to the conversation, or there is no conversation.
There's no hiding. I have to answer the questions, all of that
stuff.
What
was the study on, by the way? Like, was it a particular book of the Bible? Was it like New Testament book, like a gospel, or was it topical, like a subject that you studied? Or
so it was on a book of the Bible, like on verses. Yep. I don't remember all the ones that we covered as a big group,
right.
But when it was just Karen and I, we were just making our way through John, and we still are.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think.
So you still do this. This is still part of your rhythm.
Yeah. Now we just do it every other week.
Yeah.
But right now I believe we're maybe the night before the crucifixion.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So
you're getting close. You're getting there. That's pretty fun.
So it's been really great, a great way for me to have a fuller understanding of the Bible and to be able to connect the pieces of things that I've known tangentially. You know?
So if I can pry a little bit or probe a little bit here, you'd mentioned some of the things in your life that were kind of feeling overwhelming to you to kind of bring you to this place. Like, you don't have to be specific if you don't want to, but are there some things that you might be relatable? Like, this is some of the things I was kind of going through personally at that time that were kind of making me realize that I need something else in my life than this right now.
Totally. So growing up, I think maybe starting when I was in high school, learned that my mom is an addict. My mom's an alcoholic, depressed, suicidal. So dealt with all of that. And then, you know, I go away to college. I move back from college. A few years later, I meet this amazing man named Dan. And then he turns out to be an addict.
Yeah.
He turns out to be an alcoholic. And so just having those two important people in my life dealing with that and dealing with it in a different capacity. It's one thing for your parent, but it's another thing for the person, like your partner, the person that you love to go through it. And not every addict is different. Everyone's journey is different. So dealing with that, made me feel very helpless. And from my limited understanding of who God was, it was a lot of, why would you do this to me?
Yeah. Like, why would you do this to me twice? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that was kind of the me posing my first question.
Was your mom trying to get help? Was Dan trying to get help at any time in the relationship where you're like, oh, I need to help too?
With my mom, I think I don't know everything just because I was kind of in my own world, you know, being a high schooler and stuff. Yeah. And it didn't affect me as much as, say, like my sister, who's 6 years younger, and she was more closely associated with my mom at all times. But she didn't go to rehab as much as like mental health hospitals.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But with Dan, it was a lot of, you know, go to rehab, get out, go to rehab, get out. So that cycle, and you know, losing your job and stuff of that nature. And that's his own story to tell. But progressively getting worse and unmanageable for him in his life, but then also for me, his girlfriend, and not knowing how to deal with it individually or with him. It was just a rough cycle of nothing seeming to get better.
Yeah. It's interesting how sometimes, not interesting, it's amazing and also terrifying how sometimes the Lord takes the hardest situations in our life to kind of get our attention, in a sense. And that sounds like something you were really wrestling with, and it was so difficult, so painful. And yet the Lord used that to kind of grab hold of you and kind of help you. And I imagine, and now it's part of your story. And that's, wow.
So what, I'm curious, you know, you're going through this cycle with Dan, you know, where it's getting harder and harder to deal with. Was your first instinct like, well, I need help from God, or did it take a little bit for you to get there? What was your relationship with God like before, I guess, making this turn kind of back with the Bible study and that kind of thing? I know you'd said it was nominal in growing up. You guys went to church sometimes, or your church kind of faded in importance, but what was it that made you think, like, I need to turn to God in this moment?
I think that moving backwards, I came to Jesus when things were on the upswing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thankful for that. Mm. Because I know that sometimes you can also come to him, you know, in your darkest time when you're on your knees.
Yep.
Right. But I think I kind of rejected that. Mm. But in regards to when things were tough and how I approached God, you know, I think I was praying about it, but I didn't really, it was still very surface level. I didn't really understand what I was doing. It was just kind of, I don't know what else to do.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I had people talking to me. I had, you know, Dan's family and everything just talking about how they're dealing with these struggles, and knew that they were praying and leaning on the Lord. And so I'm like, well, I should do that too. But I didn't do, you know, the necessary steps or have a real understanding of what that meant yet. So just a really, you know, superficial, unfortunately, understanding.
But that's okay, Lauren. Like, God is patient with us, and everyone's story who comes around to faith in Christ, you know, you have a little bit of understanding, and God meets you there, and he keeps bringing you along. So I just don't want you to feel any sort of shoot, I was kind of immature. Yeah, we all were, and he's patient with us, and he brings us along, and your understanding grows over time. And you might look back 2 years from now and think, oh, I remember when I did the podcast, and I feel like I've grown so much, you know, since I recorded that story. So,
yeah, patience is probably the number one virtue.
Mm. Oh yeah,
that
totally.
That I'm so grateful for, because, you know, like I said, I've had this very surface level understanding of it, but God's been with me the whole entire time, like you said, kind of moving me along, pushing me along through these incredibly difficult situations until the perfect moment.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
What was that perfect moment, you know, what was it like where what was it like when you actually kind of turned to Jesus? What kind of led up to that, and what made you make that decision? I know you said it was kind of in an upswing, which is cool, but what was that situation like?
So it was January 19th, I think, 2022, a week after my 31st birthday, and I was on Zoom for the Bible study, and one of my questions that I answered, I was answering the question as if, like, when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so not like saying that I had done that yet, but saying that I was going to.
Yeah.
Basically, and Karen said, well, Lauren, you're already talking in this way. Like, what are you waiting for? That is something that is not a good way to approach someone. but it was like, well, do you want to do this? Like, is this the time? And she'd asked me a few times before, and I said, oh, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Just because I felt that it had to be at this perfect moment, right? Like this, the right time where everything was just perfectly aligned.
Yeah.
And so I thought about, oh, maybe I should do it on my birthday or something like that. But I didn't. And so the week after, that's when we met. And she'd asked me that question. And, you know, we had just gone through a lot of things at the end of the year, going into the beginning of the year. And like I said, we were on an upswing. And I said, yeah, I think I am ready, especially since subconsciously I was already speaking in a way. Mm-hmm. So that was just her asking me was really the little push that I needed. And
was
so,
that one just you two? Or was that just you guys' Bible study together? That's cool.
Yep. So I did it in the middle of my little studio over Zoom with her.
So Zoom can be redeemed. I can't believe it, but it can be redeemed. That's pretty cool.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you still have connection with your family as well? Like what's life like with them and stuff? Like, are they still part of Lutheran Church or
Episcopal Church?
Episcopal Church yep.
So my mom, no. My sister is a Christian, is a believer. You know, she had to deal with my mom in other ways. And so she came to the Lord a lot earlier through like a high school youth group situation after she kind of hit rock bottom. And then my dad is a Christian. And so he still goes to the Episcopal Church. He is pretty involved there, but he came to Imprint when I was baptized, and he'll go to church with my sister.
Nice.
So he, you know, jumps around a little bit, but
it's cool. Yeah, you got baptized recently, which was super cool.
Man, that was cool.
Whatever, Joyce. What made you choose to do that as well? What was the decision? And I'm ready to get baptized here.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was. I think I just got asked. Aaron and Amy were like, "Well, because Dan and Sarah had talked about getting baptized for a long time."
Yeah.
And then they started saying, "Oh, we should do on Easter," and then I think it got assumed that I was also going to do on an Easter.
And you just kind of got drugged into
it. I was like, oh, I don't know. Let me think about this. And then, you know, I was like, I knew that this was an act to kind of, you know, outwardly proclaim that Jesus was my Savior. So, you know, through some pushing, I made that decision, and it was just such a blessing to do it with Dan and Sarah too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for taking that step.
Absolutely.
I think for a lot of people, it's hard to, well, especially if you have any kind of like, I don't want to be in front of people or something like that. Or if you have like, if you're an introvert or, you know, we can use characters, but to see that is really cool. And that's an example to the church body to make that step. So thanks for doing that. I always appreciate when people are like, I'm going to make that step, which we kind of joke is the easiest thing that Jesus will ask of us as a follower of him. Yeah. But
like, love your enemies, get baptized. Which one's easier?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well,
yeah.
And this podcast is just another step for me, but it is hard for me to talk about my faith outwardly or to do something like being baptized in front of a whole congregation because I still feel uncomfortable in this space. Yep. I still don't always know, or I feel like I need to talk a certain way or say certain things in order to kind of fit in.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, you know, I'm very cautious.
Yeah.
And so doing something like getting baptized on Easter with a full house, you know, is just another kind of step in me getting more comfortable in my faith.
Yeah. I wonder I think a lot of people have that same feel, Lauren, that idea, like I have to talk a certain way or look a certain way. I kind of wonder sometimes where that kind of comes from. Like, where do we get that. I think the church cultures always have them to some level, you know, like if I'm not put together enough, or if I don't, you know, speak the right language, people are going to think I'm an outsider or something like that. You know, I wonder, do you know where that kind of came from within you? Because I think we all feel it some level, but I wonder, do you know where it kind of originated with your story?
To be honest, part of it was for a very, maybe like in college, of course, I was like, I don't want to be a Christian. Mm. I don't want to be, associated with those people.
The crazy people,
which sounds so horrible. But that's kind of what I got from what I was seeing on the outside.
Did they seem kind of nutty to you or hypocritical or...
I can answer that.
Judgy, what was it about the Christians that you didn't
want? All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? I also didn't really know any personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's easier to kind of caricature a group out there. That
interesting.
100%. And so that was the initial part. And then also, like I had said before, just being around believers who have been believers for so long and just not knowing how to fit into that. I really, honestly, something that I value is that I can go into any room and talk to a group of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do that in regards to being around a group of Christians. Yeah.
You feel like you didn't have the code to, you didn't speak the language.
Club language or something.
Yeah, any of that kind of thing.
Right. Haven't found it yet. But I'm looking into it.
Well, there's almost a lesson to learn in that for any of us who have more church experience. And to even keep in mind, like, there's people that show up every Sunday to Imprint Church or to any church, and you know, Jesus Center Church, that have that same experience. They're like, I'm not sure I fit here. Like, I'm not sure I can speak the same language here. That's like a lesson to learn from what you just shared, because here you are attending, seeing the church, and like, can I be a part of this community? And I think most of us would be like, well, yes, we want you to be part of this community, but is it spoken? Is it felt? Is it, you know, all that kind of stuff? Lesson learned or lesson to take heed for. So,
I also think there's some sort of no matter how much it's talked about, there's sort of a desire to clean up, you know, when you come to church, whether it's whatever, there's a desire to clean up, not like as far as like, I'm using filthy language, but like, I'm going to clean up and I'm going to talk a certain way. I'm going to dress a certain way. I'm going to do these things at church. And I've had several experiences with that. You know, I grew up in the South. And so there was a bit of like, you leave authenticity sort of at the door and then you put on the Southern Baptist kind of way of doing things. And I think that happens even in the most informal kind of churches. I don't think Imprint is a super formal church, but anytime a group of people get together, there's sort of an unwritten code of conduct that comes up, which is a shame.
Well, and I want to emphasize that I'm not saying that it was at all a facade or anything.
It was Darren.
That's right.
It was just, you know.
You always made me feel weird.
Yeah. Being around believers that are so passionate, like, again, and this is all I'm learning, this is what it means to be a believer, right? Uh-huh. It's intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, I'm not that passionate about anything, you know?
Fair enough.
And I think deep down I wanted to be, but I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. And so.
Sure. And I think it's not to justify or excuse any sort of, I guess, barriers that we unknowingly put up between us and people who are newer.
Yeah.
But even if we were like the healthiest, most welcoming community, I can imagine myself going into some place. And still, if I was like brand new, I would still in my own insecurity feel like, man, I'm not there like what these people are doing. You know what I mean? So it might not be things that are actually externally being placed on me, but it might be more my own internal stuff. And I'm saying it's probably a mixture of both. I'm not even saying that Imprint's like some perfect community. Certainly not. And we need to do all that we can to make people feel like they're welcome and not less than, you know what I mean? But I also think we have to work on fighting our own. I mean, when I was a younger Christian, I'd go to like retreats. I was doing college ministry. I just have this like internal like thing that makes me compare myself. And I would wonder, am I as mature as these people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For a long time, that would be kind of, and I hated that about myself. I'd be like driven by like, are they more spiritual than me? Do they love the Lord more than me? You know, and I just had this insecurity, you know, and so some of that's just stuff that's in me and not stuff that they did to me.
Yeah,
totally.
So thanks for sharing that, because that's a helpful reminder of that.
Thank you.
So since January of 2022, what's the Lord been doing in your life in the last few months here? Like, can you say, man, here's some things I'm learning, or here's some things I'm growing in, or here's a thing that I've wanted to do, or whatever, you know, where's that been?
I would say first it had, my faith has brought me to, well, first going to church every Sunday and looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
I have participating in practicum, so doing something.
What do you think of that? Yeah, you're part of practicum. Have you did the justice and race one? Did you have you done the calling ones as well, or just the first
story
one?
Story of Scripture.
Story of Scripture. Or?
I'm doing Story of Scripture right now.
Okay, awesome. Are you enjoying
tonight.
Them both? Yeah, yeah. You could just stay and have dinner if you want. And then, yeah.
No, I think having the opportunity to do the justice and race, I think that started in March, again, was just such a blessing because that was definitely a roadblock for me, was thinking that if I became a Christian, I couldn't care really about racism or like, or be able to, you know, for all listeners, I'm Black, so I couldn't really, you know, participate in anything in regards to my race or social justice or anything of that nature, because I didn't believe that, or I didn't think that Christians
cared about that
in any capacity. Yeah. And so just the fact that I was able to participate in that, and just to know that it was the first time that it was done, and it was just such an amazing experience. I had a really great small group, and just to be able to talk with people, talk with believers in that way, which is something that I never thought I could, was just such an answer to prayer, and honestly, even a prayer that I didn't even pray, but just something that I needed to really, really make me feel a little bit more comfortable in who I was, as a Black woman, but then also as a believer. And that's really important to me. So, that was awesome. And with the Story of Scripture, again, it's helping me piece together the things that I knew tangentially before, to apply what I've learned in my Bible studies, and to just get to know the Bible better as a story, which has been really great too, to not just look at it as this ancient text, right?
Yeah.
It's a story, and it's purposely put together. I love that. So that's a great,
awesome,
great thing.
Thank you for jumping into those things. I mean, it sounds like you're wanting to learn, you're wanting to grow. That's a great...
Thanks for memorizing that script we gave you to plug practically.
I'll Venmo you later.
We'll pay you later. Yeah, seriously.
No, that's wonderful. I love hearing you say like that the Bible is, you're seeing the Bible as a story and not just some irrelevant ancient text. Like that's the whole purpose of practicum in the Story of Scripture one is to get the story of God and put the pieces together. That's awesome.
I think it's pretty cool the way that you sort of like entered the family of God too, because you started going to a Bible study. You know, I think that's really cool.
Totally.
Instead of it just being like, well, I went to church and I heard someone speak. You're like, you're reading the words of Jesus, and you know that leads you to Him, and then you're able to kind of zoom out and look at what is admittedly sometimes a very confusing, thick book, but look at it all as like, okay, well, this is one big story that's leading to Jesus. That's got to be exciting for you. You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything like that, but I can't imagine that not being an exciting experience to be able to jump right into this thing that now can hold so much value and purpose for you. So
yeah, I would say, you know, understanding the Bible as a story is number two, but number one is learning about how Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And I think that beforehand, I only understood Jesus to be 100% God.
Yeah.
And so that definitely contributed to some space in my understanding.
Oh,
Like trying to understand a God and a godly nature and all of that stuff. But as I've been working through John, and then also I have to plug The Chosen, which has been so awesome because it is showing me that these are real people, that they laugh, that they struggle, that they are just like us just a really long time ago, and then just, you know, we're blessed to be a part of the amazing story. That has been so helpful to just increasing my relationship with Jesus, because I know that He knows what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
I think that if you're thinking of someone as a God, it's just very far away.
Removed, huh?
Yeah. Or even just reading the stories for me, I had a moment as I've been a believer for a while, I had a moment where like it sort of hit me, and it was before The Chosen was the thing. It was like, oh, these were like people. Because when you're reading stories about like Moses, or like I think of Jeremiah, because we're in Jeremiah as a church right now, of him like saying all these things, you picture this kind of like flatline, stoic, like stone faced guy saying all these things. But in reality, he's called like the weeping prophet. Mm-hmm. And so he's a guy who was abused for 40 years for telling the truth. And the humanity of that is just so helpful, I think. So The Chosen, I've heard a lot of people say that about The Chosen. I should probably watch it at some point. But
definitely.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I want to. My wife's been watching them. I need to do that. She's ahead of me. So I've been like, do I catch up real quick or something? But yeah, I was going to ask as well, like the is it called Word Go Study Bible? No. Yeah.
I think it's Word Go, but then it says by Bible Study.
Yeah. How's that been? Have you been enjoying the curriculum? Is that a good thing? I mean, going through it with Karen's awesome, I think, probably for you. And that's, I think probably, like you said, your small groups and practicum have been really good and all that. So that makes or breaks it, I suppose. But has it been a good study for you to go through as well to learn some of these things?
Oh, yeah. It's been awesome. I think because we're doing it, we're following John. I believe that when we were doing it as a bigger group, we were kind of like, oh, let's try this study. Let's do this one. I like this book. And that was harder for me to wrap my mind around. But being able to, again, follow a continuous story through John has just been so helpful and immersive. But yeah, I love the app. You know, you're supposed to, you know, read portions every day and then answer three questions. And then we just kind of review the 6 days of questions when we meet. So
that's kind of cool.
That's actually what our men's Bible study, which is starting tomorrow is going morning, through, yeah. Doing the Word Go Bible study. So that's cool.
That's really cool.
I had never heard about it until literally Ken Faugh announced.
Well, I was going to say, because Bible Study Fellowship is pretty famous, but I had not heard about this study as well to kind of go through. But I do love your story. What I'm hearing is a theme coming from your story is how much the Bible's been playing into this, like of coming alive to you. And like, it wasn't some necessarily experience that you had in an emotional church service, like Rex mentioned a minute ago, but you've been kind of systematically going through the scriptures. And it's like the Lord's been revealing himself a little bit by a little bit through, whether it's a thematic thing or whether it's a book of the Bible. It sounds like you've experienced a lot of that. Do you find your love for the Bible growing right now as kind of a fairly new Christian?
Definitely. Huh. Definitely. Especially just every time that I'm in it, just being able to learn more, and it all goes back to connecting pieces for me, you know, so that's what I really enjoy when I'm like, oh, I remember that. Yeah. Or yes, that happened in our last study. So that's been really fulfilling. And ultimately, you know, I really, really hold on to the fact that no one knows me better than the Lord.
That's awesome.
And no one knows better. Even he knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
And so using that to read through the Bible as well and to get from it what, you know, he wants me to get from it is so great, because there were times before, you know, I made the decision that that like I'd be asked, you know, what do you think, or how do you feel, or are you there yet, and stuff like that, and it just kind of pushed me away from it. But again, it's kind of focusing in on the Bible and just focusing in on developing myself, my faith through myself, because I was definitely kind of tagging along for a long time and not really immersing myself in it. That wasn't, I mean, it was great to get me in.
Yes.
But not to get me all the way.
I was going to say, props to you for jumping into these random Bible studies.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, like this family of like, wow, I guess I better do this. You know, like there had to have been some external pressure that you felt in doing that, but props to you.
They're an amazing support system. Yeah. And I knew that, like, Aaron and Sarah were finding their faith in another way during this time. So I was watching them change because, you know, I've been around them for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just seeing the work that the Lord is doing in their lives and being curious to that too, was definitely, again, just Jesus pushing me in the right direction, even if I was kind of, you know, not 100%
reluctant.
Ready.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The reluctant convert.
It's kind of, I kind of hear that. That's awesome. Yeah. So what are your hopes and dreams now? What do you like, what are you thinking? What do you want to do? And kind of what do you do? First of all, it'd be a fun question to ask. I asked this about 20 minutes before our podcast started or whatever it was, but like, what are you excited for the Lord doing in your life next?
Oh my gosh, which question do I answer?
Sorry,
you just asked like 17.
I just gave you a whole bunch of them.
Just sprayed.
Yes. What do you do, first of all?
Okay, so I'm a merchandiser or a product developer for a merchandising agency here in Woodinville. And I am the merchandiser for Mercedes-Benz USA. So I develop the merchandise that is sold on the website and also sold in the dealerships.
Super cool.
And yeah. I don't have a Mercedes.
Can you get us a Mercedes?
Yeah, yeah.
Like discounts?
Totally. Yeah.
If I had a dollar.
And do you enjoy
every
it?
Every time that somebody asks you that, you're like, that is not unique whatsoever. Please don't say that to me again.
I bet. And do you enjoy that? Do you feel like this is kind of God's calling on your life going forward? Do you feel like you have more in store for you in the future? Like what are you thinking right now of that?
I
ask you 27
you mean,
questions again. I have to stop doing this. I'm asking 27.
Ask one.
Well, first, I absolutely love my job.
Nice.
Which I have learned not a lot of people can say.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing in itself. But long term, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been at my company for 5 years and I'm, you know, maybe a little restless. So trying to work my way through that. But hopes and dreams, gosh, I don't know. I think that this sounds so corny, but sky's the limit for me now, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm going through life just getting by.
Nice.
Like barely hanging on from the stresses of being a partner of someone who's going through addiction.
Mm-hmm.
That I can be a better support system for him, but primarily for myself with Jesus. So I'm just so grateful now that I am a believer and I'm able to look back on, you know, how I got here.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, just the fact that no one knew about COVID except for God.
Yeah.
No one knew that it was coming, you know. And I got promoted to my job in November 2019.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like if I wasn't, I might have been laid off. And if I didn't move when I did in March 2020 to where I am now, then I would be living in an apartment building with a bunch of people. And so just kind of the way that things have played out, how myself and my family have been just so taken care of throughout the pandemic, again, just shows me that, you know, God has been with me this whole time.
Yeah.
And so I really feel like I can do anything, which, you know, it sounds funny to say, but, you know, I don't really know what's next for me, but I just know that I have someone who's working in my favor, who I, you know, want to work in tandem with.
But that's a cool answer. Yeah, I mean, that's totally a way better answer than my dumb question, because you went from what felt like kind of a despair moment, you know, a while back,
how do I do
to
this?
Something like, I have a hope for the future now. I have something to look forward to. Like the Lord is with me now and I can
regardless
walk with
of what
him.
She's doing.
Regardless. She's, yeah. Like that's a great answer because it gives people with that same idea. There's a lot of unknowns in our world right now. Like, I mean, it's like, what does the Lord want from me in 5-10 years? I don't know. But what I do know is that he's with me and he's walking with me in that. And it's cool to hear you say that now, where I imagine your answer a couple of years ago might've been different.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I do want to emphasize that will be with me through the good and the bad, like whatever happens next. And so there's safety in that as well. I think beforehand I felt very unsafe, very unprotected. I have, when I've talked about, I guess you would say, my testimony in the past, I had an idea that I had like a karma thought process where like, all these bad things are happening to me because
I did
something.
Yeah.
And if I do things better in some way, then these bad things won't happen to me. Mm. And the Lord was like, that's not it at all. I'm like, okay, good. It's not me.
That's super cool. Yeah. There is a sense that God is sovereign over the goods and the bads, the ebbs and the flows of life and all of that, which is cool.
And there's a lot of comfort in knowing God, not just knowing about him, thinking, again, there's a God out there and he's going to do stuff. And if I put good in, good will come out. But like knowing God through Jesus, like you know that regardless, whether you're up or if you fall, if you're down, you can only fall so far, really. You can fall into the arms of Jesus and that's about as low as you can go. And it turns out that's a great place to be.
That's gotta be
really cool. What does your sister think about you meeting Jesus? I know you said that she became a Christian a while. while back.
She was like, about time. No.
Yeah, I think that's what seriously. She was thinking. I think that's what her and my dad were both thinking. Like, yeah. Lauren will figure it out eventually. She's done trying to be her own person. Now she's on board. But no, they were both very supportive, and we haven't talked super deep about it. You know, my sister and I were 6 years apart,
yeah.
and we're still developing our relationship,
yeah.
our friendship, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, things change as adults, right? Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah, yep. It's a little weird being mm-hmm. so far, and especially like watching like Dan and Aaron. Mm-hmm. They're like 18 months apart, and so they're just like this. And I'm like, wow, I want that.
But... she put her fingers together for those who...
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're close. Yeah.
Sorry, this is an audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be weird if it was video. Like,
there's drawbacks. Yeah, yeah. There's, yeah. yeah.
Very cool.
Well, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
Like, it's yeah. really cool. And I think we just want to commend you and thank you for getting baptized.
Yeah.
Not that you did it for us, but there is a blessing to the community of Christ to see people get baptized, especially like
absolutely.
A brand new believer, and then to step out again and come on the podcast, because this is kind of like part two or part B, you know, to,
yeah.
I think to getting baptized, like, hey, I'm following Jesus. And we're like, awesome. That's so awesome that Lauren's doing this. And then to hear your story, you know, this is letting the community hear the story of the person they saw get baptized,
yep.
you know, so
yep.
it's putting pieces together for people. So that's awesome. So
in
thanks
a big
for
way.
Doing that. Yeah,
yeah, thank
sure.
you. And it's a reminder that we're all in a journey. I mean, I hear your story and I think, again, this is so cool that the Lord has seen fit to draw us together as a family, from some people who became Christians in January to people who have been a Christian for many, many years. So it's you're a gift to our church. So thank you for that.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Your story is a gift to our church as well. So.
Absolutely. Well, hey guys, if you have any questions that you want us to pass on to Lauren or anything like that, just email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org. Otherwise, if you, say hey to Lauren on Sunday. Tell her congrats on
just
on
stand in
the
auditorium and be like, Lauren,
yeah,
Lauren, where are you at?
Yeah, but no, for real, thank you so much for sharing. Again, there's so much power in hearing what God has done in people's lives, and you know, I was thinking as you're talking about, and we can wind down. Thinking about, you know, you've been reading the book of John, and John says that the whole point of the book of John is that people will find life in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really cool that, like, there's still the power of God is in his word. So the moral of that is that if you're listening to this podcast, when we sign off, go read your Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
And, yeah,
totally.
Jesus is there. So, all right, guys, we'll see you next week.
I'll see you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.